الحمدللہ رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام علی سید المرسلین اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الصلاة والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا حبیب اللہ الصلاة والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا نور اللہ. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome back to another episode on this inspiring silsila, The Early Echo. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we have another wonderful topic of discussion for today. And this is especially for our Islamic brothers out there. Why? Inshallah ta'ala, if you stay right to the end, you will understand. Before we move on to that, I hope that you are having a lovely day. Whether you are in whichever part of the world, whether you are having a morning time, afternoon, evening, or night time, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla Madani Channel is always with you, 24/7, inspiring the Ummah with regards to authentic Islamic knowledge. The beloved Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, "Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min 'amalihi." The intention of a believer is better than his action. Let's make some good intentions. By making good intentions, we can increase our chances of gaining more thawab. For every good intention that you make, Allah will give a thawab, a reward. And this thawab is the currency of the hereafter. So why miss out? Why lose out when we can gain so much more just by making good intentions before good actions? Subhanallah. Let's make the good intentions that we are watching, we are listening to this program, the silsila of Madani Channel, for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, for the pleasure of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What we learn, we will try to practice and share with others. Practicing is paramount. Practicing is necessary for us. So if I learn something, some beneficial knowledge, ilmun nafi'a, it's in my mind, it's in my heart, I know it, and I don't translate that into action, then what benefit am I getting from that action? How do I taste the sweetness of my knowledge if I don't practice for the pleasure of Allah? So practice. Practice and convey the message to others. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, there are so many beautiful blessings for the fortunate Muslims who recite an abundant amount of Durood-e Pak, salawat, salutations upon the cause of creation, the cream of creation, the crown of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the Ummah, our most merciful master, the last prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That person who recites Durood-e Pak one time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just one time upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will forgive 10 minor sins of this person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant 10 rewards to this person. And Allah jalla jalaluhu will raise this person's status in his court by 10 times. Allahu Akbar. That's the real status, not the superficial, temporary statuses that we have in this world amongst the people on social media. That's just to feed our ego. That, I am somebody. So many people are following me. So many people are liking me. I have so many views. And, you know, it's just for the ego, whether to feel good, to get the dopamine rush, or to earn some money. It's just here and now, but we should think about the hereafter. Yes, if I'm using social media platforms to further the deen, like what Dawud Islam is doing, Dawud Islam is there on social media. For what? not to earn profits, not to any ulterior motives, but to educate the Ummah, to empower the Ummah with authentic Islamic knowledge, authentic information, and to motivate the Ummah, to inspire the Ummah, to encourage the Ummah towards obedience to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Khaliq, our Creator, to whom we are going to return, whether we like it or not, whether the person accepts or does not accept, believes or does not believe, we are going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what happens next? Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. So convey the message to others. Don't be shy. Even if somebody mocks you and says, this is for people back in the days. The sunnah is an everyday thing, an every era thing. Sunnah is a complete and comprehensive way of living, a lifestyle. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the maker, the creator of everything that we see, that we don't see, He's made everything. Whether I understand or I don't understand, I believe in Allah without any proof. I don't want to debate with you. I don't want to argue with you. I believe in Allah. When the angel of death comes, then see if you can debate over there. This is to those people who eloquently try to promote their false teachings, their corrupt views, thinking it to be correct. Alas, they will know the reality when the angel of death is staring them in the face. It's too late then. Well, subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, let's recite the Durood-i Pak. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salamun alayka, ya Sayyidi, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't stop this. Durood Sharif, istighfar, dhikrullah, Qur'an-i Pak, seeking knowledge of deen, being part of the study circles of Dawud Islami, attending the weekly Sunnah inspired Ijtima of Dawud Islami, for Islamic brothers to travel with the Madani Qafilas of Dawud Islami, watching Madani channel, watching Madani Mudhakara, reading the weekly booklet. There's so many things to do. Daily filling out your pious deeds, nek amal. So many activities Dawud Islami is doing, giving to us on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, lifetime basis. For what? For me to empower myself. For me to keep reforming myself, because it's so easy to slip and fall with shaitan, with the desires, nafsul ammara, with the ego, with negative influence around us. Negative meaning people who are pulling us towards committing sins, towards committing certain pleasures where a person gains some short-term pleasure, but it's a sin. Like drinking alcohol, going to the clubs and pubs and taking drugs and premarital relationships and casinos and gambling and, you know, just living as a hedonist. Just the pursuit of pleasure. So be wary of this. Be wary who your friends are. Surround yourself only with those people who take you towards goodness, who take you towards salah, the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, who reminds you that, you know what, hey, this thing you're doing. And of course, they would remind you in private, not humiliate you in public. As the great Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, the great scholar of Islam, he mentions that if you corrected your brother, your fellow Muslim, privately, you have done him a favor. And if you corrected him in public, you have disgraced him. You have humiliated him. Islam teaches us A to Z, every facet of living, of life. Even how to correct a person, that do it in private. Yes, if somebody, like maybe a scholar on stage, mentions something which is incorrect, don't just correct him in front of everybody else. Take him on side. You know, I heard you doing this, yeah. I heard you saying this. If the person's heart is open, mind is open, they will accept, they will apologize. In fact, to whomever they were doing it, they will themselves go and say, you know what, I said this, I did this, I apologize. I make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and please forgive me for being misleading or exaggerating to the extent of lies, whatever be the case. So Islam teaches us etiquettes of everything. If I haven't learnt, then of course the wolves out there, with their eloquence, with their corruption in eloquence or eloquence in corruption, will easily create seeds of doubt in my heart and mind if I haven't empowered myself with authentic Islamic knowledge that's based on the Quran and the Hadith. So empower yourself. Be with Dawud Sami. Stay with Dawud Islami. And every dars you attend, every study circle, halqa you attend, every weekly ijtima you attend, for brothers, every Madani qafila you attend, every Madani mudhakara that you view, every silsila and program of Madani channel that you view, every weekly booklet you read from, every monthly magazine you read from, you will pick up these Madani pearls, these Madani flowers, these Madani gems. You'll pick them up one by one, collect them, all these important rulings of Islam, all these authentic Islamic knowledges and informations, you'll pick them up. So tomorrow, a wolf can't come through social media and sow the seeds of doubts in your mind. He will expose himself because you know what is correct. No, sorry, but this is the correct way, what you are saying. Even if you don't address him, talk to yourself that no, you know what? What he is saying is absolutely incorrect. No matter how eloquent, no matter how clear it may seem, the correct Islamic view is this. I learnt it from Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are your true friends. Those who, for Islamic brothers, take them towards the masjid to perform the salah, to attend the weekly sunnah inspired ijtima of Dawud Islami. These are your friends who encourage you to grow the fistful beard, the sunnah beard, who encourages you to practice sunnah, miswak, Imam al-Sharif, and so many other sunnahs, the sunnah method of eating, of sleeping, of drinking water, of communicating and conversing with people. And for Islamic sisters, your true friends are those who encourage you to establish your 5-time salah, who encourages you that cover yourself. Don't listen to these people here who have nothing to do with the deen. We have no loyalty to Allah Azza wa Jal and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have loyalty to their desires and the desires of other people. That's who their loyalty is. Their loyalty is to Shaitan. Shaitan wants it, he likes it, he promotes it. Islam doesn't. So that Islamic sister who encourages fellow Islamic sisters, that your loyalty is to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, the creator to whom you are going to return. Your loyalty is to the Master Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not to anybody else. That your loyalty is to offer your 5-time salah, to cover yourself, wear loose clothing, don't be with strange men, qayn or ghayr maharim, to cover your hair, cover yourself, wear your niqab or parda or burqa. Don't listen to all these people out there who have no concern for you, who don't care about you. Eloquently, they will say, you know, we are for your rights. They don't care. They don't know you. They don't care about you. They care to further their own hidden agendas. And much of it is not hidden anymore. To bring you down, to bring men down, to bring females down, to bring the man down, to bring the woman down, to destroy the family, the nuclear family. And look at the so-called civilized countries, how they have fallen, how the societies have crumbled. And you look at the stats and you think, people follow these people? It becomes a joke. You're following this, where the society is finished, where there's no respect between parent and child, and there's everybody, there's chaos. At the societal level, this utter chaos. You want to follow that? You follow that, your life is going to become chaotic. And it's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to me. I'm my choice and your choice. Either you follow that backwardness, that destruction, or you follow the best lifestyle, the sunnah. It's your choice, my choice. But Dawood Sallam encourages us, hold firm to the teachings of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to the teachings of the Quran. Coming back, very briefly, we are going to go towards the masjid, that your friends, your true friends, are those who encourage you, for Islamic brothers, to attend the masjid, to be punctual at the masjid, to be regular at the masjid, not just for salah, but make that your central place. Because like if you go to any masjid of Dawat-e-Islami, any Madani Markaz, Islamic center of Dawat-e-Islam, you will find a qualified alim there in most of the cases. And that's the person you need to sit with. That's the person that can teach you. Even Qari Sahib, Hafiz Sahib, can teach you how to read the Quran. Because without that, how do you perform your salah? Because one of the fara'id, the compulsory actions in your salah, is qira'ah, is tilawatul Quran, is the recitation of the Quran. And if you're not reciting properly with tajweed and makharij, then each and every letter must be pronounced, must be articulated correctly. And you must apply the rules of the Quran. If I'm just reading anyhow, then that fard is missing, that can invalidate my salah, and I wouldn't even know it. But if I sat with that Imam Sahib of Dawat-e-Islami, if I sat with that Madani Alim of Dawat-e-Islami, if I sat with that Qari Sahib, he can teach me how to read my Quran, in salah, out of salah. He can teach me the basic masail that I need to know for my salah, for my ghusl, for my wudu, for tayammum, for tahara, and for everyday living. He can teach me sunnah. And this is why we have specialized classes for grown-ups, for men, and separately on other days, for ladies. Take advantage of this. Believe me, when you attend, you will scold yourself why you did not start earlier. From the amount of things, I've been doing this for the last 30 years, incorrectly, and I didn't even know. Because many of us went to madrasa so long ago, some 20 years, 30, 50 years ago. How much of that do you remember? How much did they teach you? And how much did you correctly understand? Because we get people in their 70s, 80s, and they come up to us and, Mulana, I'm surprised, I'm shocked. All this time for these last 30, 40 years, I've been reading like this, I've been doing this, but it was wrong. It was wrong. That's it. At least Allah blessed you that you know it. What's the right way now? How many people out there are still running fast in the wrong lane, thinking it's correct? Get involved, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The masjid is the house of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are certain etiquettes, there are certain huquq and rights of the masjid, which we have to respect. If we disrespect, it could lead to a sin. And attached to sin, to a sin, is punishment. Allahu Akbar. So we have to learn the rights of the masjid. We have to learn the do's and the don'ts of the masjid. What am I allowed to do? What I must not do? Allahu Akbar. Listen to this. It was the blessed month of Ramadan al-Mubarak. And there was showering rain in the city of Bareilly Sharif in India, the city of our master, the great Mujaddid, Al-Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali. The weather was so cold that people were wearing woolen clothes under thick cotton-filled blankets. They were lying down. They were covering themselves with a blanket after wearing thick woolen clothing. Allahu Akbar. But to receive the benefits of Ramadan, our master, our leader, the Imam of the Ahlul Sunnah, the destroyer of bid'ah, the Shaykh of Sharia, Ala Hazrat, Imam Ahl Sunnat, Maulana Shah Imam Ahmad Reza Khan, alayhi rahmatul rahman. He was observing i'tikaf in the masjid. He rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi was spending every moment of his in the dhikr of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the dhikr of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People had gone back to their homes after Maghrib Salah. And the clock was showing that the time of Isha Salah was drawing close. Ala Hazrat rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi got worried about wudu for Isha Salah. But there was no place where he could perform wudu by avoiding the cold and the rain. So he had to go outside. If he performed wudu inside the masjid, the floor would become wet with that water. He could not go out of the masjid. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, because he would get drenched. So it must be remembered that the person who Allah Azza wa Jal chooses for his deen, chooses for his religion, also blesses him with understanding and wisdom. Al-Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali found such a brilliant solution to this problem that he was facing, that every person who respects the masjid will rejoice when he hears it. He took his cotton-filled quilt, he rolled it up, he made it thick, and performed wudu while sitting on it. He placed it down, performed wudu while sitting on it. He did not let a single drop of wudu water fall on the floor of the masjid. My dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, can you see to what extent our master, our role model, our hero, Al-Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali went to in order to preserve the respect of the masjid, his passion for respecting the masjid, Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. But in our society, a large number of people, they are not aware of the rights of the masjid and how to respect the masjid. Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Some people, you'll see that they don't wipe their feet. So the wet impressions of their footprints are found in the masjid. Some don't dry their beards properly because water is inside. And when they go into ruku or sujood, that water is coming out. Or from the other parts of the body, the other parts of the limbs. It is not allowed. It is not allowed. And a sin actually to deliberately let drops of water fall from our body parts that are washed during wudu unto the masjid. And when you're drying yourself, you don't need to take it and scrape it against your skin to dry completely. No. Your skin must still be a little bit moist. Just take it and dab, dab, dab right through. One time, two times, three times. Dab properly inside your beard. Dab properly. So you are dry and there's no possibility of any droplets of water falling onto the floor of the masjid. But at the same time, you're still moist. That's the proper way. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So part and parcel of the respect of the masjid is to keep it clean. There's a narration that the person who removes something harmful from the masjid will have a house built for him in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. So if you see threads, or if you see some dust or dirt on the masjid floor, pick it up. It won't harm you. Pick it up. Put it in the bin. Masjids, they normally have a place where you can dispose of these kind of things. Sometimes you will see our leader, our master, our role model, Amir Ahl Sunnat, Shaykh Al-Tariqat, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal, Muhammad Ilyas Barqadri, Tamat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, that he has a piece of, like a Ziploc bag, a pouch, that when he's there, then he sees a piece of dirt, dust, thread or something, he picks it up, puts it inside, and puts it in his pocket to dispose of at a later time. Subhanallah. Can't we do something like that? For the cleanliness of the masjid. The masjid must also smell good. How Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and so many others, they used to light these incense to to make the atmosphere fragrant. But be careful if you are lighting those agarbatti, those incense sticks or loban, or if you're putting this itar or something, make sure we don't dirty the masjid floor with the leftover of the agarbatti, the incense sticks, etc. So keeping the masjid clean is a duty for all of us, for all Muslim men, Muslim boys. Keeping it clean also from unnecessary conversations, useless activities, worldly talks, chit-chat. That's the masjid is not for that. Keep it outside. And even there, engage in only meaningful and beneficial conversations. It is mentioned in the glorious Quran, Suratul Baqarah, verse 125. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَعَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ أَنْ طَهِّرَا بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ. Translation from Ganjul Iman. And we enjoined strictly upon Ibrahim and Ismail to purify well my house for those who go around it, and those who stay therein for i'tikaf, and those who bow down for ruku' and prostrate. Subhanallah. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Hakim al-Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Na'imi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, said, it has become obvious that masajid must be kept neat and clean. This is what Allah Azza wa Jal is teaching us. Filth and things which smell offensive must not enter the masjid. Even if somebody has the bad breath, halitosis, or has a bad smell emanating from their bodies or their clothing, maybe because of their perspiration or some other reason. If the smell is bad, if there is a stench, then that person is not allowed to enter the masjid. Not allowed until they remove. Some people smoke cigarettes, some people maybe put in, are working in such environments where there is not a good smell. And that maybe they're used to it and they can't get it, but if they pass by somebody, the other person will get it. So we must be cautious in this regard. Be very meticulous. Some people love to wear their three-quarter pants and their t-shirts and they feel cool. Is that how we stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Some people dress anyhow, no hat on their heads. Leave Imam al-Sharif, no hat even. You're standing in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. When you're going to the court of the dunya, if you were to go, is that how you will dress? Or you will dress up all formal and nice and neat and presentable? Should I not dress even more presentable in the court of my Creator? It's up to us. It's just how we have been brought up and what mindset I have. Some parents, they teach their children. They advise their children. They continue to do so. But some children, they feel like they have a mind of their own and they wouldn't go according to those advices. If it's good advices, they feel, no, let me create my own tracks. Let me create my own path. Let me make all the mistakes. That's certain youngsters of today, a certain segment of them. You made your mistakes, let me make my mistakes. They refuse to learn from the mistakes of others and move ahead. They want to be behind. Let me reinvent the wheel and make my own mistakes. The other youngsters who listen to the elders, they'll be in the front there. You're going to be that side. Your choice. But learn from the experience of your elders. Never ever break that respect between yourself and your parents, your elders, the ulama, the scholars, the mashayikh, the pious people. If you do that, you're a goner. Then you're finished. Then you'll be spiraling down out of control without even realizing it until the angel of death is facing you face to face. Then it's too late. The masajid are for salah, for sajda, meaning salah. The masajid are for the recitation of the Quran, are for the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. A narration says that, build masajid and remove dust from them, because the person who builds a masjid for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal will build a house for him in Jannah. And a person humbly asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, should masajid be built by public roads? He replied, yes. And to wipe dust from it is the dawah, is the mahr for the huri ayn, for the heavenly maidens. Allahu Akbar. It has become obvious, again, that keep the masjid clean, keep the masjid fragrant, keep it away from bad smells, away from worldly talks. Sayyiduna Ubayd bin Marzuq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has said that there was a certain lady, she would clean a masjid in Al-Madinatul Munawwara, Zadahullahu sharafu wa ta'zima. She passed away. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not informed about her death. One day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by her qabr, by her grave. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, whose grave is this? The Sahaba ikram alayhim ridwan, they humbly said, Ya Rasulullah, it is Umme Mihjan, her grave. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is she the one who would clean the masjid? Sahaba ikram alayhim ridwan said, yes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then ordered the people to make a row by her qabr, make a row, a saf by her grave, and led her funeral salah. Then he addressed that woman who was buried there in the grave, that which work did you find the most preferable? The companions, Ali Mudwan said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is she listening to you? He said, you do not have more hearing than her. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this woman said in reply to my question, the cleanliness of the masjid, that is what I found to be the most preferable deed. Allahu Akbar. I mean, we are learning so many things from this short narration, this short hadith, that certainly Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is fully aware. By the grant of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is fully aware of the conditions of the people in the graves, whether they are experiencing the blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or punishment. And he has been given authority by Allah Jalla Jalaluhu to communicate with the dead, with those who are deceased, those who have left this world, those who have entered into alam barzakh, to communicate with them, to talk to them, to listen to them, and to convey that message to others as well. Subhanallah. That's my master and that's your master. The unique master. Yes, a human, but a human like none other. A unique human being, not just that, a unique creation of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The cream of creation, the crown of creation, the cause of creation. Subhanallah, he is Habibullah, he is the beloved of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, our creator. And then we come to realize that, you know, cleaning the masjid, even if you're not going to take the broom or the mop or the duster, wherever you can, whatever you can, you're sitting down in the saf, you see a piece of dust or maybe some dirt or some thread that comes out from the clothes, pick it up. put it in your pocket. When you're going out or you've gone home, take it and put it in the bin. Do it with the correct intention. That is the dawah, that is the mahr of the maidens of Jannah. That will earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is also following the guidelines of the Quran. So do it with good intentions. Just for picking up that piece of thread, you will earn thawab. You will earn reward from Allah Jalla Jalaluhu if you did it with good intentions, correct intentions. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman alayki ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our master, our role model, our hero, Al Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman, has said, in the sacred era of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was the chief wali of all the Muslims. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said that ana awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim. I own the Muslims more than they own their lives. So if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam owns me more than I own myself, is closer to me, more than I'm closer to my own life, should I not love him, respect him, follow him? Because his teachings are the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep that in mind. Whatever Allah azawajal revealed to him, taught him, is what he portrayed, displayed to the world, what he taught to the world. Now, it's my opinion, my limited opinion versus the teaching of Allah Azza wa Jal. You can imagine how smart that person will be. No, but I feel like this and I feel like that. My feelings and your feelings matter nothing when it comes to what Allah the Creator has commanded, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded. If I don't like it, tough. I need to like it because I'm going to meet Allah. The funeral salah that was performed without informing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got to know about it and repeated that. So it is like this, that the first funeral salah is led by someone without the wali, without the guardian. Then the wali can perform it again. This is the ruling of Sharia. And so this is why the Prophet ﷺ went to the grave of Umm Mihjan radiallahu ta'ala anha and performed a funeral salah. And when she was asked about which deed is preferable, she radiallahu ta'ala anha mentioned that cleaning the masjid was the preferable deed. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So don't think down about it. All these, our caretakers, sometimes muadhin, that he's cleaning the masjid, how much of a reward he must be getting that he doesn't realize. But even to our muadhineen out there, the caretakers out there that are cleaning the masajid, that are cleaning the premises and property of the masjids, that are making sure it is spick and span and the windows are clean, and for the musallis who are going to come, and to uphold the dignity and to respecting the rights of the masjid, make good intentions that I am cleaning the masjid for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, for the pleasure of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am cleaning the masjid to gain the vast amount of thawab that is in it. I am cleaning the masjid and making it smell nice so that the musallis, including myself, can perform salah with full concentration. Make your good intentions as well for maximum rewards. And inshallah Azza wa Jal, by doing this, you will see the thawab in this world. You will see it in the qabr and the hereafter as well. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The great giant scholar of Islam, Sayyidina Imam Abu Hamid, محمد بن محمد بن محمد غزالی علیہ رحمت اللہ الوالی has said, the righteous people would remain in masajid due to pondering over the hereafter, so that they could collect the blessings of the hereafter by getting maximum benefits from this short life. Due to a large number of worshippers, people used to sell foodstuffs outside the masjid, making the foodstuffs easily available to the worshippers because they were attached to the masjid. When you see somebody who frequents the masjid, that loves to come to the masjid, then you must know that person is a really fortunate person. Allah has blessed him. And he loves it. You know, he can't wait to come back to the masjid. He's like a fish out of water. When he leaves the masjid, he's there, he's sitting down in the peace and the quiet. He's performing his salah, he's making his dhikr, he's contemplating over the hereafter. He's contemplating over his life. Peace and quiet. Sukoon, tranquility, fulfillment, happiness. And then he's, hey, I got to go back to work. I got to go back home. I got to do shopping. I have to go to uni or college. So, and then when he's gone, but his heart is still in the masjid. His mind is, when I'm going to finish this for the next salah, so he can come back. So he outside, he's like a fish out of water. But for the person who is like a hypocrite, when he comes to the masjid, he'll try to come last and run out first. His heart is not there. Say, okay, you know, I need to read my 5 times salah. Rush in. Quick, quick, quick. Some of them don't even read the sunnah before and after. Just rush in, get the fard, and there's a race. A competition is on, some invisible trophy. I need to go back to work. You need to negotiate it with your employer. Friday, for example, Friday is Friday. Your dhuhr salah is your dhuhr salah. And you can negotiate. You know, I can come in a few minutes earlier or stay a few minutes later, just so that you get your dhuhr salah, your asr salah, because these two are normally the salahs that are there during the working hours. I remember myself when I was in the corporate world. Believe me, if I didn't have Dawood Islami, I may not have had that kind of courage to go up to higher management, to the directors. But that was something that empowered me, gave me that confidence, the ability, the know-how. And so I urge you, get involved with Dawood Islami. You will learn how to process things, how to get things done. And I had a meeting with my seniors, with management, that, you know, myself, I don't smoke. Others are taking so many 2, 3, 4 minutes smoke breaks. I don't take anything. They are doing this to de-stress, and they can come back fresh to make more sales or to get more clientele. So I use that. You can use whatever fits your scenario, your narrative. That, you know, at least give me, okay, my break time, I go, I take a walk, I get my dhuhr, alhamdulillah, but I had to retain my wudu, which was a little bit challenging but manageable. And I just need a few minutes for my afternoon prayer that will rejuvenate me and refresh me as well. They understood. They even told me, you use the boardroom for your prayer. I kept my musalla in my drawer. Asr time came, I told my manager, the director, and he said, not a problem. I would go a few minutes, asr, dua, come back. You feel nice that, hey, I read my salah. Not in the proud sense that, yeah, I'm reading my salah, he's not reading his salah. No. That, you know what, you feel proud in the sense that I've done my duty. I've read my salah. Alhamdulillah. And there's no need to share it with anybody else. But just between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. And your mind is more positive. You're more focused. Because these are, you know, compulsory acts. Compulsory ibadat. I've done my duty. I read my salah. I read this salah. I did this. I fulfilled rights. I'm trying my best. And, you know, I'm asking Allah. So that person is more proactive, more confident, more positive. Don't I want that? that balance, that my duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my duties to the people. Do it, try it. Remember, one salah a person misses unintentionally, that person's name is inscribed, engraved, written on the door of Jahannam, the door of hell, through which he will enter. If I miss a salah, I must make tawbah. That's between you and Allah. Make tawbah. Ask Allah sincerely to forgive you. Ya Allah, forgive me that I've missed so many salahs in my life, Ya Allah. Oh, Ya Allah, I have read so many salahs incorrectly. Ya Allah, please forgive me. And with that, whatever salahs I missed, I must make its qada. I must make a list. If you go onto Dawud Islami's app of prayer times, you can download for free from App Store or Play Store. And there is a facility there to calculate qada salahs, miss salahs. And if you want to learn how to fulfill those miss salahs, there is a lovely booklet called Method of Miss Salah. But if you get the book, Laws of Salah, this is a chapter in there, Method of Miss Salah. Read it and you will see how much easier it is to, especially if you have a lot of miss salahs. Because from the time a person becomes baligh, mature, then every single salah is fard upon that person. Even if they missed it 20 years ago. I've met people, because of a lack of Islamic knowledge, because of not being in the right environment, like Dawati Islami. I went to a certain place for Madani Qafila for a lengthy period of time. And Dawud Islami was somewhat new in that at that time. And so this regular Musalli, I was having a discussion with him, and the discussion came up regarding qada salas, miss salas. And he said, what do you mean miss salas? And I informed him, from the time he became baligh, but he was a new Muslim, a revert Muslim. So I said, from the time you became a Muslim, which at that moment was maybe about 10 years or something, whichever salas you had missed, you have to read those salas. And he was shocked beyond belief. He was saying, no, that's not possible. Nobody told me about this. I didn't know about this, yeah? So I told him, that's the teaching of Islam, that's a sharia. That every salah that we miss, we are accountable for it. That we have to make tawbah and we have to make the qada of it. We have to read it. So I advised him. And on this app, you will find it. You can calculate, an easy way of calculating, from the time you became baligh. For females, normally from 9 years upwards, 9 to 15. For boys, 12 to 15. So from the time you became baligh, or you take that age, and from up to the time that you can remember you were performing your salah correctly. You may have to take 10 years. You may have to take 20, 30, 40 years. But at least you start, you make the start, you make your tawbah, and you make the start to cover up all that. So you have your list, okay. Fajr, 2,000 fajrs, 4,000 asrs, 10,000 ishas. Remember, isha is two. Your four fard, your three witr. But you make the start. You know that you are trying your best to cover it up. Sit with a Sunni alim, sit with a muballigh of Dawud Islami. If you want more information, which times you can perform your qada salas, which times and how to go about doing it in a shorter way, we can say. Subhanallah, Dawud Islami is there to empower us. Read the book, a method of miss salah, and you'll find the whole method yourself, that how to go about reading the miss salas. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran mentions in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 18, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Only those enliven the masajid of Allah who believe in Allah and the last day. Subhanallah, subhanallah. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us from amongst those who enliven the masjid, those who contribute to the masjid. If you contributed one brick to the masjid, one stool, one anything that is being used, that people are benefiting, so long as they are using it, so long as it is in use, even after your passing away, you will get that thawab. That is sadaqah jariyah, that is recurring reward. Those who help to maintain the masjid, who help to pay the bills, the water, the lights, who help with the musallas, the carpets, the mats, who help with the painting of the masjid, to adorn the masjid with nice lighting or some frames. Those people who are regular at the masjid, those who call out the adhan, who say the takbir for leading the salah, the iqamah. Now let us become somebody who has some contribution to the masjid. Let us refrain from unnecessary talking in the masjid. Allah Azza wa Jal has nothing to do with those kind of people who indulge, who engage in worldly conversations in the masjid. And when you're in the masjid, make your intention, nawaitu sunnat al-i'tikaf. Before you enter with your right foot, say Bismillah, enter with your right foot, recite Durud-e Pak, and say nawaitu sunnat al-i'tikaf. If you can't remember the Arabic, say it in English. Then, O Allah, I make the intention of i'tikaf. So long as you stay in the masjid, even silently, contemplating over the hereafter, you will be getting thawab for that entire time, because you made your intention. And for a person who wants to eat or drink, like for example, Ramadan time, maybe iftari, for the mu'atakif, wants to drink some water, who have their sahur, the sahri or the iftar, then, you know, even out of Ramadan, make your intention first. But don't make the intention of nawaitu sunnat al-i'tikaf because you want to eat and drink in the masjid, or you want to lie down and sleep in the masjid. No, you make the intention, you engage in some dhikrullah, and then it becomes jaiz and permissible for you to eat, drink, or lie down in the masjid. And when you're going to the masjid, just don't wear anything. O children of Adam, adorn yourself when you go to the masjid. So adorn yourself. Put nice fragrance and itr. Go to the masjid. Meet each other with a smile, with a nice handshake, and create that wonderful brotherhood. Allah Azza wa Jal keep us on the path of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and may we be amongst those who respect the masjid. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم الله 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 start your day with remember